nice entrance music, Paul.
I know you're expecting me to have a whole bunch of tricks up my sleeve here, and I don't have any. I could give you a bunch of analogies here, like if you back even a squirrel into a corner, he'll come out and bite your face off, or something humorous like, hey, Chris Jericho, my name is Paul Heyman, and I'm the Jew in jiu-jitsu, but I don't find anything funny about this. I don't find this to be entertaining.
Hello and welcome to this week's Second Shift podcast with your host, Wayne as a Baker. And we've got a packed show this week, so we'll get straight on with the guests. First up, it's the man with green semen, it's Walker. How are you?
I'm running on 3 days without sleep, and I just really want to punch someone in the face, so let's just get on with this so I can hurry up and cry.
There we go. He's having a cry wank as we speak. And next up, he's not been on for like a month because he's been apparently busy being a student. It's the Gypsy H. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks, Paul. Yeah, I think it's been about 6 weeks. In fact, the last time I was on was the week that I hosted. But you know what? I'm getting back into it now. I'm hoping to regain my addiction for the Second Shift podcast. Yeah, it's one of them shows, pal. I'm in the mood for that. Let's make some controversy.
Don't poke the devil with a stick, that's all I'm saying.
It's begun already, man. 2 seconds in. Shots fired.
So we'll go over to Devil Vamp's email now. Hey, Second Shifters. This week, I want to talk about the ladder match at TLC. It was one of the best ladder matches I've ever seen. I would say even better than the Shawn Michaels versus Razor ladder match. Had to be said, Dolph and Luke were fucking maxing, taking bumps I have never seen. Just a way to make a statement showing they'll not be outdone by NXT. Can't say that about much of the card, except the Dean Ambrose Bray match. I thought it was a very good one. What did you guys and asshole gypsies think about Wyatt versus Dean match? Steer clear of that gypsy, guys. He's a liar and a thief. The true champ, Vamp. P.S. Addicted my fucking ass. He hasn't even watched SmackDown in a year. I doubt he even listened to the AWWIR or this show in a month. There we go. He's not bitter at all, is he?
No. Can I point something out? When I said I have not watched SmackDown in over a year, I did not mean that I had... people have taken this out of into the wrong account. I did not mean that I haven't watched it. I meant that I haven't watched it in its entirety. I've been watching it on the WWE app in the little short videos. So I do know what's going on. I just don't have the time to sit there for 2 hours because I have this thing called a life.
Oh, that's not a way for a champ to speak. You're certainly not the people's champ, are you?
No, honestly, I didn't mean that. I've been very busy with university recently, but I'm looking forward to getting into SmackDown again over the Christmas period and into the new year.
Hold on, I think this nigga's lying, right? Oh, right, you gotta bleep that out. But this guy just said, I didn't mean that. You clearly fucking meant that. You just want to take some shots now, ain't it? You know what I mean?
When you play me that phone call 10 minutes before we come on air, I'm gonna be, and I'm going all guns blazing tonight. So.
Oh dear, I don't think this is gonna stop here, is it? But never mind. Going on to the bones of the email then. What did you think about the ladder match at TLC, H? I was about to call you Gypsy.
Yeah, not a Gypsy anymore. But yeah, I loved the ladder match. I got to watch it on Monday morning and I sent... the first thing I did was I sent Legend a text just at the end of it saying, you have to watch the opening match. It's fantastic. Great ladder match. I have to agree with Vamp there. It's one of the best ladder matches I've seen personally in a very, very long time.
And also, what did you think? Because really, TLC had two matches. That was about it. What did you think of the Bray Wyatt, Dean Ambrose match?
I really enjoyed it. I thought that the Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose match was... It had a lot of good spots. I enjoyed the... I especially enjoyed the multiple ladder spots that Dean Ambrose did. And I'm interested to know what you guys think on the ending of that match. But, I really did enjoy it.
Everyone seemed to shout on it, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
It weren't the best ending, but that was visually good to see, and, excuse the pun, shocking.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I thought that the ending was, obviously, the explosion. It looked good, and I didn't see that coming. And I guess people could say it was a cheap way out, but it was a way for Dean Ambrose to save face and for Bray Wyatt to look strong still and get the win that he needed.
It made Ambrose look stupid as fuck, though, didn't it?
I guess the way that they can put it over is that he was doing everything these two did everything they could to put each other down, that it ended up that this mistake cost Ambrose the match. So I guess, I've never done that with a TV, so I don't know whether that actually
Did any of you see the post show when he started beating the telly up?
I did not see that.
Yeah, he starts kicking and beating and stomping on the telly. And like Michael Cole goes, he's not happy with that monitor.
I'm gonna have to watch that. Gonna have to watch that right now. I'm gonna go put full out right now.
But just before we go and do that, then Walker, what are your thoughts on the ladder match and the Bray match at TLC?
Oh, I like them both. I don't see why people are going to be complaining about it. I think like the Luke Harper Dolph Ziggler one got a bit of a. From what I saw on Twitter, everyone was liking it, so I've got nothing bad to say about them. So just like that was decent, and the main event was sick. Like I thought the ending was. I don't want to say it was bad, but like. I think it's a good way to save face for him because I don't think Dean Ambrose could lose clean and like, no, actually, yeah, I said that last week that Dean Ambrose could lose clean and it'd be all right, but I think this way it saves him a little bit, so stop being a dick, everyone.
There we go.
I'm going to watch this Fallout shit then.
So, we'll leave it there, Devil Vamp. Please come back next week and fire shots back at the Gypsy. That'd be hilarious. We'll go into TLC in more detail in the segment coming up later. Moving on to Mr. SA himself, DRG. What is up, second shifters? After the vast announcements having been made, here's what we currently know about TNA going into 2015. They'll be granted a 9-hour marathon leading up to the live debut on Wednesday the 7th of January. They will air replays immediately following the broadcast. They'll have a newish show called TNA Unlocked on Saturdays, in which Mike Tenay will be your guide into further expansion of the character and stories you see on Impact. They'll move to Friday night, starting on January 16th. Josh Matthews will take over the commentary role with Taz. Both TNA and Destination America have been promoting the move very extensively, with announcements such as the new logo, as well as Destination Impact promotions on YouTube that feature Impact stars commenting on where they call home, inverted commas. Long-winded, of course, but what else do you expect from me? I have a few questions. Oh, my God. I have a few questions that I'd like you to focus on. First of which, would you consider watching the Unlocked program, considering that will be using more of a sports-like approach as a top 5 power rankings and incorporating statistics as features of the show? Secondly, have both parties managed to drum up some interest as to make you excited for the return of the original content? Lastly, from this micro-sample of just the past month of announcements, would you agree that it appears Destination America is doing more of a push and market TNA than Spike did during almost a decade of air and Impact? Again, I apologise for the extensive email, but I've been wanting to talk about this subject for a while and didn't have the proper channel to do so. Oh, little dig at devil. I hope you guys can provide me with some potential insights I may have overlooked thus far. Regards, DRG. So, yeah, that's all positive stuff, the announcements coming out. It's nice to see that there's actually been some proper promotion. Starting with his first question then, would you be interested in like a sports stat sort of Mike Tenay doing a show, like more statistically looking at what happened on Impact and building on the stories in a different way? and we'll start obviously with Kai because Walker's too busy having a wang.
Yeah, I'm really interested by this. Obviously, as a lot of people know, I don't watch TNA because, you know, my addiction doesn't go that far. But anyway, I really do like the idea of this sort of sports center style. It's something that I like to watch when the football's on and the analysis and everything. So it's something that I'm really interested in for. I know a lot of people have asked for it in wrestling for a long time, and I've always wanted it for the WWE. But if TNA do it and they do it well, it could possibly transfer over to WWE. So yeah, really looking forward to seeing what it's like. I'll check it out.
So when they come back then on the 7th of January or whenever it was, you're definitely going to give it another go, are you, if time permitting?
You know, I'll say it now. I will be watching on the 7th of January to see what the new... Because I'm always interested when they do... I know they do these relaunches a lot, and I know that I give them a lot of stick on this show. But TNA, they can be... I've got confidence in them that they can be a good product. It's just... And like I say, a lot of it's just my time that I don't have for it. But I will give it a go on the 7th of January. That's my commitment there now.
I was going to say, there's rebranding, but this is different this time. And yeah, I know say every time, this is new channel different. This is proper, like DRG says, the promotion they're getting is totally different to whatever they've had on Spike. They kept, yeah, Spike were a good partner and they pumped a lot of money in and then give them a lot of time and tried giving them the perfect slot. Not, you know, having a go at Spike for that. But some of the announcements, like when that changed to Wednesday, and it was just like, yeah, we'll move to Wednesday, done. Little bits like that, the promotion was terrible.
It seems like, because I don't know much about Destination America, but I'm guessing that it's a smaller network than Spike. That's all I know. And I'm guessing that means that TNA have more influence in what they can and can't do than they could do with someone like Spike.
Ish. It's in less homes, but it's still a Discovery network, which is obviously a massive network.
Oh, yeah.
So the potential is in, if they can help each other grow, they've got the potential for a very strong footing.
Yeah, the most confident thing that I'm, the most influential thing is the fact that they are giving them a lot of time and a lot of publicity to start this new launch, and also they're allowing... Well, I've just forgotten what I was going to go say then, but sorry about this, I'm a bit rough, a bit rusty. The thing that I found interesting, though, is that, like everyone says, wrestling fans will also move, so and they will travel to watch TNA, so they will check out this new channel.
There's also a rumour that Discovery are going to do a deal with PlayStation and get the channel, and not, I don't know if they'd have to pay anything like the PS network to get the, but you could well get Destination America PS4, which will get it into a lot more houses, which
would
be
that's
good.
True. Yeah,
going over to Walker then, have you heard about the new TNA program?
Not until just now.
What are your thoughts on it, and how do you think, like, the promotion of the new TNA has been like from Destination America compared to Spike?
Well, I guess this might just be me, just being that the exception to the rule. But if I haven't heard anything about it until just now, then not everybody's fucking hearing about it. So that's probably a bad idea, bad thing to begin with. But as long as they're giving it a fucking honest try to get their product to as many people as possible, then you should just commend them for doing so, and I just have my fingers crossed that they can they get what they're looking for from all this promotion. They can get as many eyes on TNA as much as possible.
So, are you excited for the new Impact then, Walker?
I suppose so. Like I haven't watched Impact for since. I can't tell you what happened on the last episode I watched it, but it was a good 6 weeks ago. So I would obviously give it a try once the new one comes out, when it surfaces on the internet, because that's how I watch it, because I am a cheapskate. So we'll see.
What were you going to say, H?
What's the deal with us over in the UK? Are we still getting it on Challenge?
Yeah, that's a separate deal completely. That's nothing to do with the American TV deal.
Right, cool. That's all I really wanted to know.
No, that's totally unaffected. There we go. So I think that's our bit of TNA, because obviously there's not a great, well, there is a great deal to talk about, but I think we've hit the new stuff and obviously there's no program to talk about. So we'll thank you there, DRG, for that, and hopefully you can send another one next week. Going over now to Andy Anderson. Hello, gents. I'm still, every time I see an Andy Anderson email, I've got to laugh about the cheerio. That's, Hello, gents. This week, since it's close to Christmas, I'd like to know if I could ask Father Christmas for one wrestling Christmas wished slash gift. What would it be? In the spirit of Christmas, I'll even let Ant make a wish. And he was supposed to be on, but he's gone poorly again at short notice. But hopefully he'll be back next week. So we'll leave his wish till then, Andy. But first, my wish would be the next time that stupid bunny is in the ring, Kane's music will hit, he'll come out in his red machine gear with a mask and tombstone the bunny, and the bunny's head breaks off and rolls out of the ring, and we'd never have to see that stupid bunny again. What would your guys' wish slash gift be? Thanks for reading my email, and that has been my nickel. And that is really violent and over the top.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. I think
Andy's got bunny issues.
Just a little bit.
But then, Walker, then, what's your Christmas gift that you'd like to be given by any wrestling promotion?
I'd just like to see more nipple slips on WWE or TNA TV in the new future.
Not going to happen, because apparently I get fined if it happens.
I don't give a fuck. You asked me, I gave you an honest opinion. I don't give a fuck if he's illegal or not, man. I always, you know what I mean?
So what do you think of Vince McMahon for a fine and the nipple slip?
Serves them right for getting their tits out and entertaining me. Yeah, boy.
And did you see the potential lip slip of AJ Lee during the Nikki match?
Oh my God, no, I didn't. I'm going to go back and watch.
My wife noticed it and said, oh my God, there's either a lot of bush or there's some lip.
Oh, I'm watching it hand in the pants on the fucking ready. I'm going to rewatch this match, mate.
That's Walker tied up for 10 minutes. Kai, what would your Christmas gift be?
Two words, WWE Network.
Is that it?
Yeah. That's the one thing I want from wrestling right now, because I'm actually really enjoying the product. Like, I know we're going to get onto one up and one down, but I don't think the product's that bad at the moment. And the only thing I want is somewhere to watch more of it. And yeah, WWE Network. That's the one thing I want this Christmas.
I've had it for a year. What if you wanted it that bad? If you're addicted, you'd do anything with your hands on the product.
Yeah, I've been holding off, though, because the reason I've been holding off, and I said this the last time I was on, is because
When was that?
The last time I was on? Before I relapsed my addiction about 6 weeks ago, yeah. but yeah, I just want the WWE Network really, really badly. And I trusted the WWE that they... I've kind of been holding off, right? If WWE announced that they weren't going to be getting it by, say, January, then I'll be considering getting the VPN. That's kind of what I was giving them till the new year, and then I'm going to start considering getting a VPN. Especially now that it's pay monthly and not a six-month commitment.
To be honest, Vince basically said January 1st, and that ties up with the Sky deal, so I can see that happening. He all but confirmed that in that Stone Cold interview.
Oh, that must have slipped past me then, because I did watch that Stone Cold interview.
Yeah, he said, when's it coming to the UK? And he went, January. He went, as soon as it's January. He went, I'm not making the promises, because I don't want what happened last time to happen again. But he went, January.
Yeah.
And that ties up with the Sky deal, so he all but confirmed it.
Well, that's my Christmas wish done, then. I'm happy.
There we go. So, we'll move on now.
What's your Christmas wish?
Oh, Christ. I avoid questions like this because I hate it. I want to say a smarty answer like Walker did about Paige, but... Daniel Bryan back, probably.
Yeah. Do you think that it's going to happen?
They say he's only 2 months away from a return.
It's always a bit dodgy, though, you know, with the
changes. Don't want one thing that's next week, next thing is 6 months, so you can't.
Do you think he's going to be there for Mania?
I would have thought they would have done the surgery regardless, if that meant he was definitely back by Mania, so that must be fairly safe that if they've dilly-dallied this much, he's going to be back by Mania.
Yeah, but there's always the question with the neck of whether they could even make it back at all. I mean, I know it was John Cena that had the neck injury and he beat Edge's record for quickest return. And that was like 5 months, wasn't it? That's when he returned at Rumble. I mean, imagine the ovation if Daniel Bryan returned at the Royal Rumble and won it. I'd be shocked by that because I've not heard anything saying that Daniel Bryan's going to be returning in time for the Royal Rumble recently.
I just love it, right? If you got the and then suddenly flying out the sky, R-E-Y, Mysterio.
Oh,
here
God.
We go. That would be
number 30. Oh, that's the only reason that WWE are wanting to sign Mysterio back up, just for that
just
one
so
night.
They control him for that one night.
You're going to cause so many suicides with that, I swear to fucking God, guys. There will be a max, like, half the demographic of the US population will kill themselves, all them wrestling fans, if that actually happens, guys. Don't be responsible for mass genocide, guys. Don't do that.
I think I would rather see that Rey Mysterio moment than actually Daniel Bryan returning. I'd rather Daniel Bryan just return the next night on Raw and just see that amazing Rey Mysterio moment.
Anyway, we'll leave it there. Thanks, Andy Anderson, for that. Please send the next one next week. Moving on to the last one, that's Miserable Scott time. Probably more, I want the network. So, we'll see what he's got to say. Hey, you guys. First up, I want to say a big thank you to everyone that has been part of Second Shift since its inception. Especially Devil Vamp for giving us the platform to do this show. He is everywhere today, Devil Vamp, isn't he? But, yep. It's given me endless hours of entertainment, and I'm sure many more to come. Some of my favourite segments have been the quizzes, such as Who Am I and Killer. Battle Creek, Michigan, anyone? I've also enjoyed participating in bigger topics, such as the network debacle. Yes, I mentioned it again.
For fuck's sake. Carry on.
My question for you guys is simply, what have your second shift highlights been from 2014? Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to this week's hosts and everyone who is listening. I hope to find more time to participate in 2015, but I won't hold my breath. Till then, Living Legend has left the building, even though he was never enough. That was a really nice email, LL, to be honest. And I'd like to just... won't give my highlight. The whole highlight is just doing the show for me, and I love it. And I just thank anyone that has emailed, give feedback, or even come on the show. And like I said, if you ever want to come on or want to send an email or MP3 contribution, please do it. It's secondshiftpod@gmail.com, and Twitter is @secondshiftpod. There we go, plug's done. H, what is your second shift highlights been?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say, as much as I'm taking shots at Devil Vamp tonight, genuinely, I have nothing against the guy, and he's done an amazing thing creating this, giving
bullshit.
Us... what? Anyway, he's given us the amazing opportunity to release it.
I said bullshit. I
was... here, right?
I'm just shitting on it for you. Go on, carry on.
It's given us a great platform to do this show, and personally, if I hadn't have been able to do this show, and I know I've only hosted once, but just being a part of it, it wouldn't have made me pursue my other radio show here at uni as well, and all the other things. So, you know, thank you to Devil Vamp for that. And then, highlights, I really enjoyed the first show that we ever did, because that was kind of like the first time I got to speak to you all. And it was just one of the, I know it was a bit of a, we all thought it was going to be a clusterfuck and fail, and it really wasn't, and we were all a bit surprised by that. And I think there was about 8 of us on, and we've kind of worked out that, you know, the smaller amounts of people on the show, the more easier it is to get around everyone and the more fun it is for us. But I've really enjoyed the learning curve of it. Another episode I really liked was the one that me and Wayne did, just me and you. No offence to you, Walker, here.
Yeah, fuck off, Walker.
Fuck off, kid.
Clearly some sort of race. There's clearly some sort of racist and heightish kind of thing, because I'm the only person here that's black and over 6 foot, but whatever, it's cool.
No, but I enjoyed that one because it was very different. It was just after me and Wayne had spent time at the football, and we just decided we'll get on early, we'll do a couple of hours of talking, and it was less of a show, a normal show, and more of just a chat between mates. And I think that kind of, it was a different vibe, and it really worked. I personally enjoyed that one, but yeah, those are my highlights.
I enjoyed that one because the editing was so much easier. Yeah. That's personal reason. Walker, what are your second shift highlights been?
I forget which episode it was, but that was just one where we just went in with the insults. It was kind of recent. It was just an absolute clusterfuck. I think it was the one where me, Wayne, Vamp, and Ant, I think it was, and I think Katie as well from the WrestleCast fame. We did that show, was probably my favorite one, because we were just taking the piss out of everything. There was just no seriousness to it. And also, I actually managed to mute and have a quick wank in between talking. And I thought that was pretty sick.
Thanks.
Oh, what about me pissing on the show?
Oh, shit, that too, man. That was jokes.
And there was also something else you done that episode as well. You got stuck in a room
Trevor,
or something.
Trevor McDonald.
Oh, yeah, that was just... And then there was you falling out of a caravan.
Hey, that was the second show, that. Fucking hell. And that caravan is no more. I'm no longer a gypsy.
Yeah, you're just a liar. But, right. We'll leave the emails there for this week. So, really good turnout. Like I said, secondshiftpod@gmail.com. Twitter is @secondshiftpod. Please get them in next week. There will be a show of some form. What sort of show is... totally depending on who I can drum up. But now we'll move on to a feature that's not been here because I'm lazy and don't want to do the prep. And now he's back. It's the second supersonic second shift shitty news, whatever, with your host, Gypsy Kai.
Right, we're going straight into it.
That was the segue, yeah.
Well, fair done. Enough, that's the segue. Let's get into it. Hello and welcome to this week's Supersonic Second Shift News. A drunken fan was removed from the TLC event after flipping off an official. J&J security were nowhere to be seen. WWE's app now has over 15 million downloads. Jerry Lawler is still trying to work out how to download it. Mike Tenay is the new host of the new TNA Unlocked show for Destination America. Word is they're going to dress him up like Rene Young and dye his hair blonde. WWE denies reports Lesnar is on his way out, still in denial that any wrestler would ever want to go to the UFC. A new picture is revealed of The Undertaker. Give him some gold jewelry and replace Rest in Peace with now then, and he'll be appearing in a courtroom before he appears at Mania.
That's the close call one, was it?
Jesus Christ.
Ziggler versus Harper gets huge praise from WWE legends. The future is definitely bright there. Big Show banged up his knee in his match at TLC. Nobody noticed as he hobbled down to the ring on Raw. Alex Riley gets #FreeRiley trending on Twitter. In other news, where the fuck is Trent? WWE has bought the title off collector Dan Lambert. Reports say it was part of a swapsies for a Ryback singlet and a lock of Andre the Giant's pubes. And finally, WWE has started marketing Sting as the Vigilante Sting, and the Icon was said to be livid. And that's all for this Sonic Second Shift News.
Oh, and the Icon, bless him. Get well soon, buddy. So just pick out a couple bits of the news that you found interesting then, mate, and we'll discuss it.
Right, let's get back onto there. We've talked about the Ziggler and Harper match. Reports saying that Lesnar's on his way out. And that there might be a three-way, this meant to be a three-way bid between Bellator, UFC, and WWE. What do you guys think of that?
Depends on his medical, don't it? If his stomach's still bad or his bowels or whatever, then he won't do it. But if they're fit, I can quite easily see him going.
Why do you think he'd want to go back, though? I mean, WWE have done such a big, you know, WWE have given him such a massive opportunity now after the whole... I guess that could be the reason. You know, he's just become the man to defeat The Undertaker in wrestling, and now he wants to go... You know, that could be a huge marketing ploy over in UFC as well.
Do you think Punk going could encourage him to do it? Like, thinking if that skinny little runt can go, then I'll show them how it's done.
I'm not sure whether Lesnar's that bothered as to whether Punk's... Because Lesnar's already done the changeover. It's not like this is his first time at the rodeo going over to UFC. You know, he's done it before. He's become world champion over there, so I guess I don't know much about his UFC career, but I'm guessing that I know he was injured and he had his condition that had to stop him from being a part of UFC, so maybe he feels like he's got unfinished business there.
Walker, what are your thoughts then on Lesnar going over to the UFC or Bellator, or do you reckon he'll even stay with the WWE?
I think you'll stay with the WWE. They'll just offer him a bucket load of cash for him to stay here and like protect himself. But we'll see.
Yeah, I should say that WWE's officials have denied this because the original report said that it was because the merchandise had been told to stop producing any more merchandise for Lesnar post-Mania and to then give any merchandise that was... made for Lesnar to Sheamus, which to me then went, well, that's a load of bollocks. But shall I have a look and see what else is in the news? Is that what you guys heard that you were interested in?
Any sort of tidbits I done last night on the WrestleCast available on the DSJMP network?
Well, there's the thing about them buying the WWF title. Great plugging there. That's a skill, that is. The WWF title that they've bought from Dan Lambert, and that's apparently in reports that they're getting together the new physical Hall of Fame.
Oh, that would be good.
So, yeah, I know they've been saying that for years, but it seems like they're finally collecting it. And I did read something a while back saying that Triple H is a big proponent. And
Would you do that, near Full Sail or at Stamford? Where would you have the physical Hall of Fame?
Someone mentioned, I've read it in reports everywhere from Connecticut to Orlando to, you know, it's got to be somewhere where people are going to come and visit, you know what I mean? I don't know Connecticut that well, but is it really a touristy place?
Yeah, I think Florida is probably a better one.
Yeah, in there with the Disneylands and stuff like that. It's you know, home of where WCW was. But do they really want to take it to...
Like I said, you got Full Sail in Florida as well, didn't you?
Which, well, yeah, I guess
NXT,
so,
yeah. So that's an automatic... Yeah. You could make that a little sort of wrestling mecca to sort of go to. So
yeah,
that'd be good. I'd like to see something like that.
Well, that's all for the news, really. A lot of it was just a load of shit that I tried making jokes of this week. So.
And you failed miserably. But
as always.
It's the thing, it's this time of year, it is slow, so
yeah,
no point fighting it and making stuff up just to
exactly
do podcasts. So we'll move on then to pay-per-views and special events, I've called this bit, because there's been two this week.
Yes.
We'll start with the second event, which was TLC. And second, I mean, like, less able. So, because in my opinion, I don't think anyone would argue that NXT outdone it. So we'll go over to Kai. What are your thoughts as TLC as a whole?
I really enjoyed TLC. It was really, really good TV for me, but I really like gimmick matches. So these sort of things. There was a couple of matches. I wasn't interested in the Kane versus Ryback match. I just didn't find it that interesting. The And it, but it was matches like, and Big Show versus Eric Rowan, nah, it wasn't really doing out for me. But there was matches like, well, actually, Big Show versus Eric Rowan did have some decent spots in there. For two big men, it wasn't a bad match, but the Ziggler and Harper match was absolutely fantastic. And if it wasn't for it's up there with Wyatt and Ambrose stealing the show. And I enjoyed the tables match as well between Cena and Rollins. I thought their cage match was better on Raw, but I enjoyed the tables match as well. So yeah, I really enjoyed the pay-per-view.
Out of 10, what would you give it, that?
I'd give it a solid 8, definitely.
Ooh, I think that's a bit too far. There was nothing bad about the event. It was thingy, but I just think the order messed it up for me. It just didn't
what
run.
What would you have put it in?
I wouldn't have bolted my load so quickly throughout the thing. You needed a good match to get it going, so Harper and Ziggler done the trick. But when that was your highest point of the episode and you didn't have another spike for me until you had a little spike for Roman Reigns, which the crowd popped like hell for.
Yeah. Did you not enjoy the tables match then up until...
Yeah, what? That's what I'm saying. There was a little spike in that match. And that was fairly early in the event. So you had two little spikes, well, two quite big spikes near the start. And then that would... Then they put filler matches right until the end and that just killed it. And I think the crowd had it killed for them. They only then started getting into the Bray one. Like,
they gave the Bray match plenty of time, though. You got to admit, I think it was... I might be remembering this wrong, but I'm sure it was half an hour.
Yeah, I would have had Rollins and Cena... The third from last match, so you got a spike, you know, good way through it. Little cool down one with the Divas like they normally do. I like that little spot with the Divas just before the main event.
Yeah.
And then go full out. So then you're getting nice spikes throughout the show. You got one at the start, one in the middle.
So you'd have kept Harper and Ziggler first.
You needed something. That's not main event. And yeah. I think that would have got lost. And that would have got lost with how good it was in the middle. The only problem is that was such a big point to get going on. Nothing else could equal it. But you needed something to get the crowd going at the start. It's weird. You ask several people. You ask 10 people, there'd be 10 different match orders that they'd write out.
I wasn't too bothered about the match orders. I found it to be good. But then again, I also have... I was able to skip through, so like the Divas match, I was able to skip through. But rest of them, I really wanted to watch because I really enjoyed them. I expected that I was going to want to skip through the Big Show and Eric Rowan match, but I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think my main criticism is there was too big a gap between Rollins and the main event that the crowd sort of died out in. I think that is the issue. Walker, what are your thoughts on TLC and what did you think of the match order?
I thought TLC was kind of average. There was the certain feature contest that just didn't live up to expectation. Some of them had no expectations to live up to and just ended up being crap. But there was a few matches that were decent. Like the main event was good. The ladder match... Like the Intercontinental match was good, and the table match was the only matches I actually enjoyed. And then the other matches were just like there, you know what I mean? I think anything structure wise would have improved the product for me because the matches were still like kind of bland. I'm just right now watching the AJ Nikki Bella match, so I can see a part of AJ's bush in it. But like, you know, that's the only bit of rewatchability factor that goes there. But then again, that shows how much of a pervert I am.
Moving on then, I think we're pretty much unanimous. There was three good matches and rest of it was not bad, but just not great.
Yeah. TLC, I believe it's the first time that they've... it's the second time this year that it's two under-30s that are main event in the pay-per-views. Because I don't know how old Bray Wyatt is. Do you know how old Bray Wyatt is?
No, I can get it up, though. I think...
Yeah, that's what I'm
just... I think he's very late 20s, 28, 29.
He's 27. Really? Yeah, he's 27, and Dean Ambrose is... Kill time here while I type. Dean Ambrose is 29. So he's younger than Dean Ambrose. So that's the second time this year that two under 30s have main evented a pay-per-view, and that actual moment hasn't happened for over 15 years, I believe. The last one was when it was The Undertaker, and you look at how old he is now.
Christ.
Yeah, exactly. It's a long time ago.
You had Rollins and Ambrose, didn't you?
Yeah, that's what I said. It's the second time.
Other than that, yeah.
Yeah, because that was the first time in like 15 years that 230s had main evented a pay-per-view. So that, you know, it's fantastic to see that they're letting young blood go, because they could have easily put, leading into that pay-per-view, the real main event was John Cena versus Seth Rollins. That's the one that's been getting the majority of the time. So it was, but it was good to see that they put the TLC match on last, because, and it gave them an opportunity to shine, and they did. I think that they took it, you know, in their stride and did brilliantly.
Talking about people that have grabbed opportunity in brass rings, that brings us to the NXT roster. Walker, what are your thoughts on NXT TakeOver R Evolution?
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot more than TLC. Obviously, I was kind of skeptical going into this whole... We'll start with the main event first, because that's obviously the talking point. I thought, considering we had the same match, 2 weeks ago, that this match wasn't going to be as good, because that I had the same opinion over that tag team series, that TNA did. But I really enjoyed the story that we're telling there, the ref bumps and everything. And I was just, you know... we all knew Sami Zayn was going to win, but it was like you had that sense of disbelief going on, that even though you knew it was going to win, you're still like, oh my God. Is that the same one? That was cool. I enjoyed that. And Owens turning heel, I was like, oh, they're really going to feud with them already. Considering last week, I was just like, yeah, they're not going to let them, let these guys feud that quickly. But I think that's a good thing, because NXT have been kind of lacking a top heel for forever. And now they have it, because the top heel before was either the Vaudevillains or Bull Dempsey, and depending on what your fucking preference was. So I was just like, okay, safe. Well, I can see what they're doing there. So I'm definitely interested to see how they're going to move this forward. So yeah.
I was going to say, they jumped right in with Kevin Owens, and that was brilliant. What a debut. That's Shuey's in ring. That's Shuey's. Just the toughness as well, to be smashed in the face and have your nose smashed and still carry on. And the fact that he ripped CJ Parker's hand open at the same time was just brilliant. His face is that damn tough, it split CJ's hand. I loved his debut, I've got to admit. And Baylor's entrance, my God. Oh, I know everyone.
That was fantastic, man.
Just everything about it, even the mediocre matches, like the tag team match and that, was still good. Do you know what I mean? It weren't like, that's good when your lowest point was good, and the rest of it was mind-blowing. It's just brilliant, the whole product. The only thing I don't understand is Baron Corbin, why everyone's fucking creaming themselves over him. I just think it's overrated. I don't see it.
I'm not passing judgment on this guy until he actually wrestles a match that isn't a squash match. And I don't think Bull Dempsey's going to give him a good match, if I'm going to be honest with you.
Nope. Going over to Kai then. I know you ain't seen it, but from what you've heard and what you have seen, what are your thoughts on NXT?
I've heard nothing but great things about this, and I had a bit of time on Monday to watch it, and I was talking to Legend, and he said to me, Kai, if you've got enough time, watch it. If you feel like you might be rushing through it, don't, because it's so good. You've got to really have time to sit down and watch it. So that's why I'm leaving it until tomorrow, when I've got time to watch it and not feel like I have to skip through anything or I'm distracted by other things, because I've heard so many good things about it. Yeah, I've had a few results spoiled, but other than that, I'm still going to really enjoy it. Balor's face paint, that's meant to be that was meant to be amazing, I've heard. I haven't actually seen it.
More than amazing. It was the entrance, the way he slithers down on his knees, and the headpiece he was wearing, and the lights and the lasers. It was awesome.
from what I've heard in other news, that's not going to be. That's just going to be special events.
That's exactly how I want it.
Yep, that's
pay per views done.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because he's recorded some matches for over the Christmas period at Full Sail and for the next few weeks, and he hasn't been using the paint, so it looks like
spoilers. Christ,
what?
People might have wanted to watch NXT to see if he had his face paint on, and you've gone and spoiled it.
Oh, is that actually a spoiler? Oh, shit.
Well, not really a spoiler, but...
Yeah.
A lot of people would have wanted to have watched NXT to see if he carried on. You've just answered it.
Well, I saw a headline in the news that said he's not wearing his face paint except for other events. So it was in the... they didn't count it as a spoiler. So
who presented that headline? Was it Trevor McDonald?
Probably, yeah. Tonight.
Was there anything else on NXT then that you're... want to comment on?
Me, no, because I haven't got around to watching it yet, but I will report back on it next week. I'll mention it as either like my special... my free chat at the end next week when I've had chance to watch it in its entirety.
Right then, Walker, why does NXT apparently work so much better on all levels than the main product at the moment?
They knew exactly what's going on because they're a very smarter crowd, but they treat it like exactly how it's supposed to be. Like they're like us. But they act like they're kids. You know what I mean? Like, they give them face chants, they'll fill the faces, and all the heels, even though they get cheered, they're still heels, and they will boo them when they do a heelish kind of thing. So they can work around that, and they can give you a great match, and they will suck the fans right in. It's the fan reaction that gets it. It's the work rate, obviously, of these guys who have tried it. And it obviously works, but it's the response that the fans give them that really puts it over, I think, but that's just my opinion. Oh, and one last thing. When Kenta went to do the go to sleep, how hard did everybody get? Then how flaccid did everyone get when he just got pulled down?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the tease for the GTS, and everyone popped. I thought it was a brilliant touch.
Yeah, pretty much, Kai. Like, the tag team match was going towards its end, and there was a little spot, I forget what Prince Devitt did first, but Kenta just comes in the ring, and he just picks up on the shoulder, and that was probably the loudest reaction of the night besides the entrance of Kevin Owens. That was probably the single loudest thing that I'd heard that night.
That worked as a heel movement. It worked to get heat for a heel, didn't it? Pulling him down. Mm. So, can't argue with that. I think your main issue will be if they done it on the main roster. Because you'll get all the CM Punk stuff. I don't think you'd get, if he done a GTS, say he actually went through with it, if he done a GTS on NXT, you wouldn't get CM Punk. If they done it on a Raw, they probably would, because they're not as intelligent as an NXT crowd.
I don't think you'd get the same reaction. Like, that's what the NXT crowd is. They're just different to any other one. Because, look, you know when fucking Sami Zayn or when The Ascension or anyone else that came up there, they've had standard responses like no one's actually seen them before. You know what I mean? Because not everybody actually watches it. It just happens to be. At that point, people know exactly what the fuck's going on there. But so if you wouldn't get the reaction as soon as he picked him up on the shoulders. You'd get the reaction as soon as he knees him in the face. Like, whoa, he's doing CM Punk's move is what people would say, but like, obviously, they don't know.
Right, well, I think we've sort of nailed everything, but I'm happy with that. As long as you guys are you ready to move on?
Yep, sure.
We'll move on to one up and one down. We'll start with Edge.
Right, well, you know what? I've had a lot of one-ups this week. Just stuff I've been listing, because I was trying to find one-ups and one-downs. I've really struggled with finding stuff for downs, but one-ups, I've got loads of them. Kane, Tombstone in the Bunny.
Oh, you're as bad as Andy Anderson.
The Jericho and Rusev bit was amazing.
That had me in tears.
I know that's your moment. I know that'll probably be your one-up. The Rollins and Cena match on Raw. I thought the cage match was absolutely fantastic. I don't know what you guys thought.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably better than the pay-per-view match.
Yeah. And the reveal that Rollins is like in cahoots with Heyman, or is he going to be the next Paul Heyman guy?
I never believe a WWE story until that's done, because the amount of times they've hinted at stuff and it never happens.
Yeah. Personally, I'd love to see him be the, like, a Paul Heyman guy, or at least be in line with them, because it kind of puts that feeling in of he's holding the briefcase too. It's like Heyman's thinking, you keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. I think that's how the saying goes.
I think that works, and you can also bring in the briefcase like they were going to do with possibly Cesaro winning the second one last year before they turned it into a championship one that he got stuck in. I think that's where they were heading, and that all changed. I think that, you know, you could do that story, but with Seth Rollins, and do it on a proper grander scale.
Rollins has just, you know, the sky's the limit for him. He's really getting a lot of good opportunities right now, and I couldn't imagine. A lot of people at the beginning were like, oh, will he be able to pull off this heel role? Would he have been better in a babyface role? But honestly, he's better off than anyone thought he would be coming out of the, I'd say he's the best off out of the Shield right now, in my opinion. I think
no doubt, in last 6 months he's been the number one heel, and he's been brilliant.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Jump me to go into my one down.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, my whole thing was I didn't have one, and then I've just gone onto the All Wrestling app now and found this lovely article. Nude photos of former WWE diva Sunny leaked online. Sunny is now, she's now doing Skype sessions tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern. And it's a new low for her, and I feel awful because it's
$50 if you want on, mate.
It's it's awful to see wrestler. I remember seeing a photo of what's he called? The guy who was always alongside Virgil. Virgil, the guy who was always alongside Ted DiBiase. There was a photo of him once selling stuff pretty much begging in a tube station. And it's awful to see wrestlers and former superstars become
when they
so
fall, old. They really fall, don't they?
Yeah,
wrestlers?
Exactly.
They have to absorb the business because it's so time consuming. They have to absorb it as their life. And when they come out of it, how many times are they left with nothing?
And it's like once you as an actor or someone who wants to get into the performing business, it's like I couldn't imagine doing any other job. I couldn't imagine myself being in a normal job. I know one day I will have to support my acting career, but you know that's all I really want to do. And I can imagine that if I got anywhere near like famous like that, I couldn't imagine going back to normal life and stuff like that. And it's just awful to. And I don't know whether she has some sort of mental health issues or going through depression or anything like that. And they're all topics that are really bad and. It's awful to see, but you just hope for the best. If people like Jake Roberts can get out of it, and you know Scott Hall's making a comeback with it as well, the wrestling fans are really good at when people are down, they will support them, and that's one thing I've always liked about wrestling. And you know it would be nice to see Sunny get back on her feet, because all you see nowadays is awful stories about her.
Right, moving over to Walker. You got anything to add to that?
I completely forgot what we're talking about because Kai was talking so fucking long.
Oh, sorry. we'll leave it there then. What's your one up and one down then?
My one up would be Sami Zayn winning the title, or Kane, Tombstone, and Adam Rose, or the cage match. I really enjoyed the cage match this week.
Do you think that was better than the TLC match they had?
They had a table match, not a TLC match.
Yeah, but I meant the match at TLC.
I don't know, actually. I'm not too sure. I mean, two thoughts about it. Because like the table match, like there was four table spots, which I think four or three. I don't know.
But there was a lot of times people were going through, like, man was going through the table, and I was just like, all right, can we just end this now? But I actually enjoyed it eventually. And then the cage match was just like, kind of needed Brock Lesnar to get it, and Brock Lesnar and the whole idea of what the hell's going next between Lesnar and Lesnar, Heyman, and Rollins to push that over the edge, innit? So just like, I don't know. I really don't know. I'm probably just going to go with the cage match because I just like seeing Brock Lesnar because I'm such a fucking mark.
I was going to say it was awesome. The Jericho one was brilliant. The bit when he tried code breaking him, you just see him like shrug him off and just fucking F-eyes him. That's fucking brilliant. Like,
nuts, bitch.
But what's your one down then?
Oh shit, this is the part I always forget because like I always usually skip through the shit I don't like, so I don't really have a one down. So what's the last thing I skipped? Oh, the last thing I would have skipped was the stairs match at TLC.
No one loving it?
No, I didn't. I was like 3 minutes in and I was just like, you know what, mate? Life's too fucking short, mate. So I was just like, you know what, off, cool, moving on. So that's my one down.
Did you see the end spot?
Big Show pinned him with the steel steps, didn't he?
Knockout blowed him and then put the steps on him, which I thought was a good use of the steps, but didn't need a match dedicated to it.
No, they didn't.
H, you didn't think the stairs match was that bad, did you?
No, and I'm not saying that I'm you know, wanting the concept to come back soon on the to make a steel stairs pay-per-view, you know, I don't want that. But I just thought it was a nice little thing. And, I want it to go back to just normal TLC next year, not tables, ladders, chairs and stairs. But, you know, it was a nice little match. I like gimmick matches. I thought that the stairs being used to pin him at the end was great. I enjoyed it. Two big men, they need something like a weapon like that.
There we go. We'll leave that there then. We'll have a round of free chat. Is there anything that you want to talk about? Don't have to be wrestling related, H.
What's your opinion on the Jericho and Lana and Rusev bit? Because you said you liked that.
Yeah, I thought it was quite funny. Jericho, I think, was used all right. That maybe was a little bit Jericho-heavy Raw, but I think that is how the guest GM should have been used, and Jericho was perfect for it. It's going to be better than Ho-Ho Hogan next week, anyway.
Yeah. Well, I've just read an article about that, and it says, because apparently a lot of fans were saying, where's Saint Mick? And everything.
He was offered, weren't he?
He was offered, but he had to turn it down because of a prior commitment. So that's nice to see that WWE actually wanted Mick Foley to be there, because he's always on the Christmas episodes, whether he's being run down by Alberto Del Rio or... Do you remember that fucking story? That was the weirdest fucking thing ever, because he'd just done a face turn, hadn't he? And then he ran down Santa Claus. Fuck. But yeah... Sorry, I'm getting it. It's like, oh, I've seen something shiny. Hey.
Poor Santa Claus being run over.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
So it's Ho-Ho Hogan next week, and the week after is Edge and Christian, which will be a good one. And that is a Lesnar scheduled appearance as well. Sorry, spoilers.
Oh, yeah. Christian's going to get fucked up by Lesnar, isn't he? It's just going to be Christian against beating up. That's par.
Did you guys know that Lesnar was going to be there this week?
Yeah, I did. I heard that was going to be the Raw after TLC.
See, I missed that. So that was quite a good moment for me when Heyman was out there. And I don't know why I never thought. I just thought, oh, Lesnar's not there tonight. So it was kind of a nice surprise for me to see Lesnar come out and, you know, squashed Jericho. But Jericho's good at laying down. He did the job, what he needed to do. He knew his role, and it was a heavy Jericho role, but you can't...
It worked. He's a veteran who comes back to put people over, but he had good points in the night with his mic work and stuff. That was perfect. That is how you make Lesnar look strong, by having him go over someone like Jericho rather than someone who's going to be there next week, because you're hurting someone else then.
Yeah, exactly. And I'd much rather Jericho than a D-list celebrity from you know, from some American reality TV show.
Yeah. No, I was happy with that. There was another point I'll come. What is? No, that was gone. So, Walker, what was your free chat?
I never have a free chat, and I still don't have one. I allow myself.
There you go. I think we'll leave it there then. We'll quick episode today, guys, but it's the quiet period. We'll do an episode next week, but I don't know what sort of episode that might be. If the week of wrestling's good, we'll talk about it. If not, we'll do something different, like quizzes and stuff. If you've got any ideas for what you'd like to see for the upcoming week, let us know. And you can email us, secondshiftpod@gmail.com, or tweet us at secondshiftpod. We look forward to hearing you. You can follow me on Twitter on @WaynesAbaker. And where can we find you, H?
You can find me on Twitter at HWIR.
And Walker, where can we find you?
You can also find me at HWIR.
Yeah. In KFC.
But, oh, right, we'll leave it there, guys.
I used that last week. You can be quiet with your racist antics. What we just need to complete this is Ant saying black chicken.
Oh, black chicken. But the thing, so not only is H a liar, he's also a racist. And on that bombshell, we'll catch you next week.
Stop gypsies, man. Gypsies are racist, man.
Bye.
See you later, guys.
Middle fingers to all you bitches.